time span with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. And speaking of the Good Feet Store, we will hear from one of the top names from the Good Feet Store. Mr. Jonathan will be joining us here at 12:30. We'll be talking about a number of things, definitely talking some Alabama football, college football, and also a new book that he's got coming out, which is going to be really good. So definitely make sure you guys are tuned in for that. Plus, we will continue to dive into this week's preparation for our opponent this weekend. Again, the Missouri Tigers, Alabama going on the road to Columbia, Missouri. 11 o'clock kick. It's an early one, but definitely going to be a good matchup. I've been watching some more tape on these guys and really excited for it, man. I definitely think they present some challenges that we'll continue to dive into. And I'm looking forward to seeing how we show up. That's definitely going to be a big thing. How we show up. Again, last road test was I mean, 9 days difference from what we've gotten used to when our team travels on the road. So hopefully we can continue to replicate the way we showed up to Athens, because I think that will be very important in this football game. I was on X like I always am, just kind of scrolling, trying to find some good little news and notes to hit for the day. And I didn't realize I guess I was on my personal account, because I went on our X account. I was like, wait, where are all the bookmarks I saved? There's a number of things I wanted to pull up and show you guys, but I'm just going to read them off my phone, because there's a couple of things that definitely caught my attention. Number one, I know this is irrelevant now and you guys probably could care less, but I thought it was interesting, and it was probably just a good final answer for something that we had a question about last week. That was the guest picker, right? I know everybody was, not everybody, but there were a lot of people that are a little frustrated that yet again, we didn't have a guest picker with Alabama ties. And I get it, rightfully so. I mean, I know people definitely feel strongly about that, but from ESPN's perspective, it's obvious that it's business. It's about ratings, and they want to try to find people who they feel can help increase those, which I understand that. And I think Reese Davis actually explained that when he was asked about it. Well, the numbers are in from last weekend's College Game Day, and I'm sharing it here on the screen. And as you guys can see from the graphic here from ESPN, I mean, the numbers were outstanding, right? 2.8 million viewers. That was up 45% over 24 week six. And then 3.5 million viewers final hour plus, beating the competition by 177%. And then the full show peak was 3.9 million viewers. And so obviously that was, you know, a huge score for those guys. So bringing Theo on was for them the right answer. I know that Bama fans were a little upset, but you guys can see why they decided to go with the comedian, right? The national sensation, Theo Vaughn. But it also ended up being the second most watched regular season episode ever. So I don't know if that was because it was in Tuscaloosa, but let's give Tuscaloosa some credit too. Now, I mean, people are probably a little excited about Tuscaloosa, and I'm sure Theo definitely, I don't know, obviously played a role there. But anyway, I saw that and I thought that was pretty interesting. So if you guys wanted a final answer on that, there you go. Another thing I had saved, I'm looking at my phone. Again, I know we don't want to get too caught up in this, but there are some updated Heisman odds. And I know it's going to be different depending on the service and really whatever you look at. But this comes from On3, right? So it's coming from On3, and I think it might be from BetMGM, which, again, you guys know I am by no means one of the betting experts out there. But I will say I feel like I trust their stuff. And I feel like I've heard of BetMGM. At least I've heard of it from somewhere. That being said, On3 released their latest Heisman odds. And I'm sharing this with you guys on the stream so you guys can see yourself. How about our guy Ty Simpson getting some love? Finally getting some love. You see him. He's at plus 800 tied. for third with Jeremiah Smith from Ohio State, the phenom wide receiver. Above those guys is Dante Moore from Oregon, quarterback playing really good football right now, and then Carson Beck of Miami. And I'll be honest with you, Reed, Chase, I mean, just looking at this list, man, I mean, even Ole Miss's quarterback, who he recently took over, right? Initially, they had another guy starting, and this guy has been taking over the last few games or so. I mean, he's on the list. You see Julian San, Mendoza from Indiana, who is playing really good football too. But what I'm getting at is I feel like, man, this is one of those years where the Heisman race, I mean, it's up for grabs. I mean, you look at the names on here. I mean, some guys playing some good ball, but I feel like in years past, I mean, there's been times where it's like, man, you got guys who deserve to win it, but there's just so much competition. It's just like, damn, right now, and we're still really, really early in the year, but still, I'm like, I don't know, man. The way Ty's playing right now, if he continues on that path, I mean, he legit has a real shot at winning the damn thing. I mean, again, Carson Beck's playing good, but I mean, I wouldn't say he's doing anything extraordinary compared to what Ty's doing by any means, right? So anyway, just thought that was interesting that those updated odds came out and you see our guy Ty flying up the board. So shout out to him. Again, I know he's not focused on that, probably the right thing, but still finally glad to see him get the love that he deserves. Plus, there's a couple other things I want to dive into, especially in regards to Missouri. Again, I had some more time to watch those guys, get a better idea about some of their players. I know we had some questions about receivers and edge guys. I went back and watched those guys specifically, and I will say I got some more thoughts on that, especially the edge guys. They have a good group. They have a nice tandem, a group of two guys, number eight, number nine, one of them being a Georgia transfer, who definitely are going to present some challenges for us. And if I'm being completely honest with you, I think this might be the best front we've probably seen yet. You know, Georgia, you know, I know they've got good recruits, good players, but they just didn't seem to be the same old Georgia. Ironically, this group that features a former Georgia player who would have been that guy for Georgia, Damon Wilson, they're doing a good job. And I think right now they actually have the second highest pressure rate nationally. Now, I know the competition hadn't been there, but still, I mean, you still got to go out there and win reps. I mean, we've also played a ULM, right? And it's no different than the running game. You look at them averaging 297 yards. When we played ULM, we didn't have 300 yards on the ground. We kind of struggled a little bit to get that going. So that being said, even though they hadn't played a whole bunch of people just yet, you got to at least put some respect on some of it. I know that still leaves a question mark because we're way more battle-tested than them, but the fact that they've shown that they can get after the quarterback and they have two good guys on the edges, that definitely is something to pay attention to in this matchup. That being said, let's go ahead and stay on schedule, hit our first timeout. We come back. We actually are going to, you know, hit a pause on me talking about Missouri because I'm going to do that here a little bit later in the show. But I want to go to some interviews. Coach Eli Drinkwitz of Missouri, he spoke during his press conference, and there's a lot from that that I want to play at least the first few minutes. He broke down his thoughts on Alabama, so we'll hear from him. Ty Simpson and various other players spoke to the media after practice yesterday, so we got to get to those. But I think we're going to start with Eli Drinkwitz speaking to the media because he definitely had a lot of thoughts and a lot of praise for Alabama. So we'll hear from him when we come back after this quick timeout right here on the Miller's Edge. Excuse me, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Speaking of it being Wednesday, we do have the SEC teleconference today, so we will hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer again as he does his weekly teleconference, but that will be coming up later. But first, let's go ahead and go down to Columbia, Missouri, and hear from head coach Eli Drinkwitz because he previewed Alabama, had a number of things to say about this matchup. So let's hear what he did have to say yesterday.
Had a great work week last week with the players and the staff. Really had three goals focused on sharpening our edge, improvement, and recovery. And now really looking forward to moving on to Alabama, which is a really, really good football team and a very difficult test for us. I think Coach DeBoer has his team playing at an elite level. Obviously, now that his team and culture is really installed, you can see why he's one of the elite coaches within college football. He's got great assistants that have really established their identities in all three phases. I think, obviously, Coach Grubb on the offensive side of the ball, you can see his influence, the offensive dynamics. Very explosive offensively, especially through the pass game. He really does a great job of utilizing formation in the boundary early in the game to dictate what you're going to be in from a play caller standpoint, and then knows how to attack those coverages. I think it's his ability to do that which gets his quarterback into some really good, comfortable situations that then allows the run game to open up. They have a really, really dynamic offensive line, obviously featured, you know, some of the best left tackle in the country and one of the best centers in the country. Obviously, their entire offensive line is really good. Running back being back has helped them control the clock and control the ground game. He does a really good job in blitz pickup. And then obviously the wide receivers are electric with their ability to utilize space, win in man-to-man and vertically down the field. I think their quarterback, again, is as good, if not better, than what other head coaches have been speaking about him, his ability to make off-schedule plays, maneuver in the pocket, be accurate with the football. There's zero doubt he knows how to attack cover two. He does a really good job at that, and then they're really good in the middle eight. So going to be a tough out on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, obviously, Coach Womack knows defense, knows how to defend us, did an excellent job last year. Multiple schemes, multiple fronts, multiple coverages, disguised pressure, has a really good feel for the game. You can tell he's been a former head coach. Just as a play caller, he understands the style of game that it's going to be and how to take away your best players and how to take away what you want to do. They have elite players at all three levels. They force takeaways and protect the ball. They play complementary football this year at a really high level. And then, obviously, special teams. There's a lot of variety of what they do in their punt scheme and in their return games. They're very sound and create explosives. So it's going to be a challenge, one that I think our team is excited about, looking forward to. I know our fans are excited. 11 a.m. kick, we'll be ready to rock and roll. And then, you know, Caden Green will be listed as questionable this week. He did get some rehab reps yesterday. Really, the challenge will be to see where he is today and see how that progresses. Won't know for sure or for certain until the end of the week. So follow along closely to the SEC availability report and Pete Thamel tweets, and you'll know. So with that, I'll open it up for your questions.
We'll start with Eli. When you're getting ready for Alabama, how much did you look back at that week one game they had against Florida State and just what the Noles were able to do in that game as far as a blueprint?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a blueprint. I mean, you look at every game. We've looked at, you know, the beauty of the bye week is to look at every game that they've played from last year, really starting with us and how they tried to defend us and did an excellent job. And then you look to see if there's common themes that people have tried to exploit. Obviously, Coach Malzahn has his own type of system in place, which creates a little bit of a challenge to try to replicate what he did. But I think the biggest thing is to watch the jump from week one to weeks two, three, four, and really not even the same team. The way they played versus Wisconsin and Georgia and Vandy in comparison to week one, it looks like a totally different team. Obviously, I think getting the big man back in the middle, Keenan, I think he is a complete difference maker for them. And I think that was big for them on the defensive side of the ball. But you can just – they know who they are. And then I think the offense has been a little bit more complementary to what they're trying to do on the defense side of the ball too. So,
when you mentioned their assistants, all the crossover between your coordinators and theirs, does that have any impact on a game or preparation, just the familiarity level there between everybody?
Yeah, it probably just creates more mind splinters than anything, because you start thinking if this then that, or you know, you start thinking too much about it. It's going to be a player's game. I think scheme will have something to do with it, but it's going to be a player's game. Obviously, have a lot of respect for what they do offensively, just because that was the style of offense that we wanted to bring to here in complementary with what we're doing in the run game. So, but, you know, I think if you start asking too many questions, you go down rabbit holes.
Yeah.
Introducing Samur Origins, crafted with unique notes and bold soaring flavors.
Yeah, Coach, I'm just curious how different this idle week, this bye week, the first one in the season, looked compared to the first one from last year where Tim King kind of came out flat at Texas A&M.
I don't know. I didn't really spend any time looking at that aspect of it. I think each bye week's uniquely different based off the circumstances of the team, what the team needs in order to continue that season. I think last year, we've already addressed it, was a little bit more have to do with the first road trip than necessarily the bye week plan. I think the second bye week, we came out with a little bit more spirit to us. Obviously, you got to guard against the rust. I think there was a couple of teams this past week who played after a bye week and didn't quite have the same kind of probably sharpness that they wanted. That's why the first thing we said about our goal was to sharpen our edge, and that was to find things that we needed to improve on. So, I don't know that there was – I mean, it was a different approach, but it was based off it being a different need for our team.
Well, you're talking a little bit about their run game and how they were able to get it going against Vanderbilt. Just what do you think they were able to do well in that game, especially with the chunk plays they had? I mean, Jim averaged 6 yards per carry on 22
carries. What were they able to do? I think obviously they do a lot of shifts and motions to try to create uncover gaps or find a weak support player, which – you know, if you're weak in support against that offensive line, that's a tough out. They're really big and physical. I think their offensive line coach, Chris Kapilovic, does a really good job. Obviously, the running back's got elite vision and toughness. And then, obviously, I think the biggest issue is you got to kind of pick your poison. Do you want to get beat in the pass game, or do you want to be light in the box and defend from explosive passes in Vandy was playing quite a bit of cover two, which cover two is going to leave you short in the run game unless you're trapping it. And then they were able to kind of pick apart the cover two in second and long situations. Ty was making some throws that were pretty incredible.
All right, so we'll stop it there for now because we got to hit a timeout. And then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about his thoughts on this Alabama game. A lot of good things to break down here. And speaking of Ty, we will hear from Ty from his, I guess, not press conference, but his media availability from yesterday post-practice. So we'll do all that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Ty 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Experts. We'll be right back.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9000.
Green Specials, making it a great spot to catch the game or enjoy a night out with friends. Grandstand, located on 4th Street and Temerson Square, downtown.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping
prize of $2,500 in cash. Don't miss this spooktacular event at Silver Star and Golden Moon Casinos.
Must be 21 or older to play.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts, where we just heard from head coach Eli Drinkwitz. He previewed Alabama, a lot of praise, obviously, across the board, talking about, obviously, the offense and how impressive they've been. They asked him about the running game picking up, and he definitely had some interesting notes there and gave some compliments to Jam. And then on the other side of the football, talked about our defense and what we've been able to do well. But again, I know, see some of you guys giving y'all thoughts in the comments, kind of about this matchup. And I'll say this, I agree with you guys in regards to Missouri's defense. I think the front is the strength of their defense. They do some good stuff on the back end too, but they just hadn't really been tested. But, I keep saying it, man, I think their saving grace defensively will be if they can be disruptive enough up front, right? I mean, cause I just know pass rush and pass coverage, right? I mean, it goes hand in hand. And if guys can get pressure on the quarterback, force bad throws, throw off the timing, right? That makes the DB's job easier. And I mean, I think they have good players, but I don't think any of their players, I would say, are good enough to match up with our receivers. But when you watch their front, they do a lot of good stuff. And I mean, they have good players across the board up front. Personally, after watching them, I think this would probably be the biggest challenge for our offensive line so far this season, even greater of a challenge than, you know, the likes of Georgia. Now, Georgia's front is good, but it's clear, right, that they don't have the same type of guys that they've had in the past. I mean, you watch Missouri's front, I mean, they've got a handful of good players that are all very active. I know Damon Wilson, I think he's leading them in sacks at 3.5. Zion Young, the other one, number 9, I think he's at 2 sacks, but they're both tall, lengthy guys, 6'4", 6'5". I mean, they do a good job getting after the quarterback, but they also play the run well. And their D tackles, man, they do a nice job being disruptive as well. You see 7 constantly popping up on the tape and flashing as well. So I think that's going to be the key, man. Kind of like what has been the last few weeks, man, offensive line play, right? You got to be able to protect and give Ty time. And I know he's getting the ball out quick. I know one of you guys made that comment, which is true. He definitely gets the ball out quick, and that helps. I mean, it's frustrating as a defensive lineman, but you know, he's able to get the ball out quick too, just knowing the way, you know, Grubb is able to scheme things up. And like Drinkwood said, I mean, when people are playing, you know, cover two and he knows where he's going pre-snap, all that stuff helps. But it will be interesting to see if Missouri, you know, because look, I mean, again, he mentioned it. You think they're just going to sit back there and do the same stuff that everybody else did that didn't work? They're probably going to try to mix things up and try to, you know, create a different challenge for us. So I'm just curious to see what they come up with. And we'll have to see if it works. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, nobody's really had that answer. But I will say normally how it works is when people have more tape to go off as the year goes on, they start trying to find answers. I'm not saying they'll exactly find all the answers to the test, but even just think about it last year, like with Jalen Milroe, right? I mean, initially it was like nobody could really figure it out. And, you know, then as, you know, the season went on, people started finding game plans and finding things that gave them a little more success. I mean, it's going to be similar with some of these defenses. They'll start trying to figure out some things that actually give them a chance. So we'll have to see, but I definitely think it will be a good challenge. But I definitely want to focus a little bit more on Missouri's defense today if we can. I know we got a guest at 12:30, and we'll continue diving into things. Plus, we'll keep talking to you guys, 205-342-99. 04 is the number if you guys want to get in on the action. But without further ado, let's move on with some of the videos that we need to get to. We got Ty Simpson from yesterday. He spoke and gave his thoughts on this upcoming matchup. So this is what QB1 had to say.
Great.
I was asking a bunch of defensive players about how, like, they prepare for stamina, like, because Missouri holds the ball longer than anybody.
Yeah.
And they mentioned your offense. And is that something y'all you know, thrive in is just keeping the ball for as long as possible? Like, is that part of the thought process of what
I wouldn't say, like, we purposely try to hold the ball as long as we can. I just think it's kind of the flow of the game and the flow of our offense, right? Like, you know, we'll call our shots, we'll call our runs, we'll call our boots and play actions and stuff, right? And just kind of how it is, right? Like, if jam breaks one open, you know, the first play of the game, right? Like, great, you know what I mean? But it's just really the flow of the game, how it is. And just setting stuff up.
What similarities do you see between your defense and the defense that Missouri runs?
Yeah, very, very similar. They both, one, just, you know, have a good scheme, good players around them. You know, Missouri's got a great front, you know, great front seven. Their DBs are really, really physical, really, really tough to get behind. And then you never know what's going to happen, right? They bring edge pressure, you know, bring twist game. One coverage looks like another. It's going to be a difficult task, and we need to study up and understand that this is a good team, and know they're 5-0 for a reason. Going there, playing at 11 o'clock, it's going to be hard.
Are you talking to Coach Womack? Because obviously they're D.C. working with him. Like, are you getting tips from him constantly?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, of course, like, they work together, they have a connection. But, of course, this guy has his own nuances, just like, you know, Kane has his own. But, you know, like I said, like, there's certainly some similarities, but, you know, everybody has their own little twists and turns.
It's been a little over a month since the Florida State game. Went from some people saying they should bench you to now you're a Heisman front runner. I mean, what's this month been like emotionally, and how much are you able to block out some of that external noise, rather it be good or bad?
Yeah, I'm just really trying to win, to be honest with you. Like, I, you know, as much as I want to forget the first game, like, it's gone, but it's never forgotten, right? You know, we talk about all the time, like, having a chip on our shoulder, like, all that is external to me, and I just want to go 1-0 and win, you know what I mean? Like, whatever it takes to win and get my guys, you know, to celebrate in the locker room for 3 to 5 minutes, that's all that matters to me.
When Caden Proctor's saying you're playing at a Heisman level, that's not a response to that.
Well, you know, I thanks to him, you know what I mean? Thanks to the guys up front, thanks to the wideouts, thanks to the running backs. Like, it's honestly, like, it's kind of absurd, you know, the talk around it, because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. It wasn't for the defense getting me in good position, turnovers and whatnot. So, like I said, like, that's all external to me. Like, I just want to do my job and, you know, make sure that I, you know, celebrate in the locker room with my guys, because I know I wouldn't be here without them.
Is there a certain defensive player on Missouri that kind of stands out to you?
Yeah, you know, number 9, Zion Young, is really, really good. 8, Devon Wilson, is really, really good. You know, those are two edge guys that are, you know, very, very long, very physical, very fast. You know, they're going to cause problems in the run game and the pass game, rushing upfield. Number 2, Torian Pride, is a good player at DB. And their nickel, number 13, is very, very physical. Very, you know, can cover, he can fit the box. They just all around a good defense, man. Like, you know, very impressed with what they've done. And even, you know, more impressive with their offense.
It feels like there's a balance between trying to extend the play and make a, you know, a hero sort of pass and just throwing it away and living to play another down. How do you feel like you've done in that sort of area, and how do you sort of think about that?
Yeah, not great, to be honest with you. I thought last game that I tried to do way too much. Sometimes it got me, got me out of stuff, and then other times it got me in trouble, right? Like I said, you know, I took 4 sacks. That's, you know, unacceptable. Like, you know, those sacks were on, you know, the O-line, like, they were on me, right? You know, I didn't move in the pocket. I didn't get the ball out quick enough. And then on a boot play, you know, in the red zone, right, like, I could have easily thrown it away, and I didn't. You know, it's just stupid stuff like that I know better. And that I'm, you know, learning each and every week to make sure it doesn't happen again, because, you know, that's just really bad ball in general, to be honest with you. Like, I'm disappointed in myself that I let that happen, and I let my guys down, because I know how hard they work, and they make sure that, right, you know, they want to be, you know, to play at their high level, and I just can't do that.
Ty, it seems like every week you see a different wrinkle of this offense. How much more of this offense game plan is to install as you progress throughout the season?
You know, one, credit to the offensive staff, right? Like, they always, you know, understand, one, they want to take advantage of the defense, but two, you know, want to do what we do best, right? You know, they want to get our, you know, our skill involved. They want to use the run game a certain way. They want to use the play action game. And then, two, credit to our guys, right, understanding the scheme and, you know, executing it at a high level. Like, you know, just the amount of time,
know, thought, install, all the stuff that we put into, you know, the hard work so we can go into Saturday and be clean, crisp, and confident is, you know, it's just a credit to everybody in the offensive room and, you know, the offense in general, right? Because, you know, a lot goes into this. We execute and have a high level, high IQ level, honestly, with our offense because it's such a pro-level, pro-style offense. And not many guys can, you know, be able to do, you know, these guys do. So, you know, man, credit to everybody on the offensive side of the ball. And you know, the offensive side of the ball makes the defense better because we can do so much. And so, you know, I'm just really, really proud of just how everybody's, like, just come from, you know, even the spring until now, right? It just is really, really impressive.
Josh Cuevas doesn't probably get a lot of love. He's made a lot of great plays in the last couple of weeks. So,
dude's insane. Dude's got some of the best ball skills I've ever seen. You know, for a, people say he's a smaller guy, but he puts his, you know, face mask and people like he's 6'7", like Caden Proctor. Like, he's, I'm glad he's on my team, to be honest with you, man. Like, we can use him in so many different ways. And then, you know, us asking him to do the stuff that he does, like, is incredible. Like, the fact that that guy, you know, it came so far from a FCS school to Washington to here, and it's, you know, playing at an All-American level. Like, he's my guy, man. Like, I thank him every day. He's like a safety blanket, you know what I mean? Not many tight ends can act like Travis Kelce and block like George Kittle, you know what I mean? So,
by the, it's two games now. Caden Proctor is going to use as a skill player for a play. Do you guys have a name or nickname for that when he comes into that role or like that package?
Yeah, Crispy. You know, because he said his nickname is Krispy Kreme, so, you know, Crispy.
Is that actually what it's called?
Yeah, yeah, you know, Crispy. You know, all the donuts he eats. Don't tell myself.
Yeah, we're not recording.
All right, so that was Alabama starting quarterback Ty Simpson speaking to the media yesterday, and it's time for us to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll respond to it. Keep on rolling on this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Plus, there's a number of guys that spoke to the media, and maybe we'll get a defensive perspective when we come back as well. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
On the game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of the game, one day closer to Alabama and the Missouri Tigers. We'll continue that breakdown. We'll talk to Aaron Torres with Fox Sports. We'll also have a chance to talk with Max Chadwick from ProFootballFocus.com as we look ahead to the big game. We'll continue with a Southern L House score prediction day, all starting at 2 p.m. here on the game on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program.
Win tickets. Bring the entire family. Enjoy food, fun, and one of the largest art shows in the Southeast. For more info on the festival, go to kintuck.org.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
Ends with Allstate. Not available in every state. Only applicable for new auto insurance business. Rates will vary by several factors, including how you purchase the policy. Potential savings vary. Allstate North American Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian.
Covered auto repairs again, so call now for your free quote.
Call 800-299-9582. That's 800-299-9582. 800-299-9582.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partially sunny and warm this afternoon. The high today, 84. Fair tonight, the low, 61. Tomorrow, partly sunny and cooler. The high, 77. And a beautiful day on Friday. A good supply of sunshine with a high at 76 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Experts. We just got done listening to Ty Simpson speak to the media yesterday. A lot of praise for his guys. Obviously, he always is going to put those guys first. Anytime he gets a compliment, he's always redirecting all of it back to the guys up front, his backs, his receivers. And I think I saw one of you guys comment here on the stream how he's clearly a coach's son, man. But love the accountability from him. He's always so accountable. And you could just sense it. You know, sometimes like guys, like they say what they think needs to be said, or you know what I mean. But with him, it feels genuine. Like when he was commenting on those four sacks, like even just looking at his facial expressions, his body language, you could tell the dude actually was like hurting about that. Like he was really upset for giving up those sacks. And so without a doubt, I think he'll definitely learn from those. And like he said, it really just came from him holding the ball, trying to get out of something, trying to make something out of nothing, which, right, I mean, like, that happens. You know, you watch guys like Bryce Young, and a lot of guys try to do that, especially when they realize they have that ability, which I would argue, I mean, he's shown through five games that he has that ability to, you know, to escape, make a play when it seems like it's, you know, it's lost. But there's just some times where you got to just get rid of it, especially in certain moments, right? Like the red zone one. That, you know, situationally, you just got to know. Because I think it was first and 10 when we took that. And it was like a negative 10 play. Ended up being like, you know, negative 10 loss when he took that sack, put you behind the chains. And we talk about, and at least we heard from, he didn't play it on here, but Ryan Grubb talked about that red zone efficiencies. You know, those little things that end up coming back to bite you in those games. And but again, the good news is that's easily, you know, fixed, right? I mean, Ty learning from that, not taking the sack there, staying ahead of the chains, and, you know, you probably change that from being a field goal to a touchdown, I would hope. So anyway, just really like what he talked about there. Then the other thing I'll say is Quavis. I think Ryan asked that question, but man, Quavis is playing such good ball, man. And I mean, I think he's getting recognition. I hear people talk about him, but maybe not as much as you'd probably expect or assume. But if you really go back and watch, sometimes he gets lost in there because, you know, whether it's in the running game, I mean, everybody's paying attention to Jam or Kevin Riley running the football. Not everybody's locked in on the tight end and then the line of scrimmage and what he's doing. But when you go back and watch, man, he has done such a good job. He's so sound in his blocking. And I know Ty mentioned being undersized. What is he listed at? I mean, is he listed to me? I feel like he's like at least 6'3". He does not feel like a true undersized guy. I get what Ty means of it. I mean, he's not like not 6'5", 6'6", or anything like that. But I mean, undersized, I feel like would be, let me see. I'm pulling up his, they've got listed at 6'3", 260. I was about to say, I don't know why Ty would call him undersized. I don't think that's undersized. Maybe in today's game, you see some of these tight ends more around like 6'5" and up. But man, he definitely 6'3", 260 is plenty, man, to be physical and put your nose in there. But he does a good job of that. But then even the passing game, like the catches that he's making, I mean, he's super reliable, great hands. And then we saw his hurdle ability, hurdles over a guy against Vanderbilt. I mean, those are some big shoes to fill with Ty's comparison. Ty compared him to two of the best in the game, Travis Kelce on the receiving end and then George Kittle in the run game, which I don't know if you guys watch a bunch of NFL, but Travis Kelce is not a blocker, right? So that's why he had to throw in George Kittle, because George Kittle, he's a dog. Which, speaking of George Kittle, how big is George Kittle? I don't think he's a – let me look up George Kittle real quick. Reed, do you watch much of the Chiefs? Or even Sam Fran, you keep up with any of those guys? Do you feel like he mirrors one or the other more?
I don't. Specifically not the Chiefs, because I'm a Raiders fan and they're an individual rival. So I kind of just like every
Wait,
time
but that means you should watch them then. That means you have more opportunities to see them though.
Yeah, I just, they usually just beat us. So I just like, and especially after what happened last week with us losing 40-6 to the Colts, sorry to kind of throw this off, but just like, I kind of am like a little bit aggravated at my team in the NFL right now.
Nah, fair enough. Well, also, I pulled up George Kittle. He's 6'4", 250. So it sounds like he has an inch on Quavis. But, yeah, 6'3", 260. I don't think I would call that undersized. Undersized, I think 6'2 and shorter for a tight end, I would say, is undersized. But 6'3", I think that's fine. But anyway, it doesn't even matter. The fact is, the dude's playing some really good football. And I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, I don't know where he was viewed going into the season in terms of draft boards and all that stuff. But, I mean, if he keeps playing the way he's playing, I mean, he's probably going to be in consideration for the, is it the Mackey Award, the tight end, all that stuff. And then probably definitely going to get an opportunity to play on Sundays because, I mean, he's showing that he can do it all and at a really high level. So, love when you got unsung heroes like that getting some praise. So, shout out to Ryan for asking that question. But I didn't realize he came from I'm looking at this now. I mean, Cal Poly, that is, what is that? Is that, that's FCS? Do you guys know? Reed, Chase?
Yes, I believe that's FCS.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, then he transferred to Washington where he was there just for 23. He played in 15 games, only had 4 receptions, but for 164 yards and a touchdown. Then he comes here, but man, he obviously is a workhorse, man. So shout out to him, man. He's a grinder and he's definitely a, definitely coming along nice. Trying to think if there's anything else that we need to break down from Ty's interview before we hit this top hour break. Reed, was there anything I'm missing? Anything that else that might have stood out to you? I know he gave a lot. He talked a lot about Missouri and the guys up front. Talked about their physicality with their DBs, their ability to disguise. One thing I didn't realize there was a. I know Drinkwitz had mentioned it, but I didn't know exactly who. But that there was a, I guess some ties between their staff and Kane Womack and company, but. I'll say this, the more you watch, I mean, their defense, they do good stuff. I don't want you guys to overlook it. Now, when I say like, oh, they don't strike me as like the group to just shut us down, that don't mean they're not good or they can't do good things, especially the more you watch them. I mean, they're good players. I think it'll be a good challenge. But Reed, before we hit this top hour break, anything else you want to hit off of what Ty had to say, or are you good?
I was going to say the whole crispy thing about Caden Proctor. I find that pretty funny.
It's funny until we realize that's why he won't drop weight. It's real funny until we realize, damn, we've been saying he needs to drop weight, but he won't leave the Krispy Kreme alone, which, I mean, it's hard to blame him. I mean, Krispy Kreme is pretty damn good, man. I don't eat it too much myself because I try to not eat sugar. But, damn, a warm box. Dang, I need to stop. They need to give me some free donuts for like a year if I'm going to keep plugging them, man. But, damn, you like Krispy Kreme, Reed?
I do, and my family does, but I'm more of a Dunkin' Donuts guy.
Oh, wow. Like the, all right, this sounds, when I was a kid, the Munchkins were the thing. Don't laugh. I don't really eat them like that now, but like as a kid, I feel like people used to bring like the Munchkins to, you know what I'm talking about? Like the like the donut balls.
Yes, like it's the, actually the, funny. I've got some at my house because I went and grabbed some like 2 days ago. So, and you gotta go blueberry. Oh, like that's the must. All right.
That's hilarious. That's funny. Blueberry, yes. Blueberry Munchkins are that. Yeah, you're right. Those are the best ones. What are the other ones? I'm trying to think. I don't know. Let me stop before I get hungry, man. And I got a whole another hour until I actually get some. That being said, let's hit this top hour break again. 12:30, we will hear from Mr. Jonathan from the Good Feet Store. Hear about his new book and talk some college football around the country. And we'll keep on talking about Alabama, Missouri. We're open on the phone lines. Actually, no. I think we do have... Oh, I'm sorry. We got Chris on the phone lines. I need to get to Chris. I'm sorry. I completely missed that. We'll get to Chris when we come back. And then after that, we're open if you guys want to hop on there. 205-342-9904. We'll do all that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles. Here's Steve DeSager.
Aaron Judge at Yankee Stadium had 3 hits, 4 RBIs to lead the comeback over Toronto 9-6. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. of the Blue Jays had homered for a 3rd straight game, helped get him an early 6-1 lead against starter Carlos Rodon. But Judge tied it in the 4th, 6-6, with a 3-run homer off the left field pole. The Yankees went on to victory. They're still alive. Blue Jays lead the best-of-5 division series 2-1. Seattle's up 2-1 after a win at Detroit 8-4. It was 8-1 in the 9th. That game was on FS2 after about a 3-hour rain delay at the start. Game 4 is on FS1 Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and then a Game 4 with Toronto at the Yankees Wednesday night. The Bengals acquired quarterback Joe Flacco from Cleveland. Jacksonville tight end Brenton Strange is on IR with a quad injury. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones was fined $250,000 for a gesture to fans.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across
the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Hardy Construction at 205-752-9611. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
It's time to win some cash on Tide 100.9 and 1230 WTBC. W265 CG Tuscaloosa. Here's this hour's cash code.
The code is 822. That code again is 822. One more time. The code is 822.
Enter that code on the Tide 100.9 app for your chance to win $1,000. Two special winners will win $10,000.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, I think Chris actually dropped off the phone line. Sorry about that, man. I'm not gonna lie to you. I saw it come in, and then we were listening to those press conferences and kind of just got away from me. But that being said, speaking of listening to more stuff, there's a number of things that we need to get to. We got the SEC coaches teleconference from today. Coach DeBoer spoke as well as head coach Eli Drinkwitz, but we'll definitely go to Coach DeBoer first. So why not? Let's just do that. I was going to try to give us a defensive perspective. I wanted to hear a little bit from Justin Jefferson. Obviously, he's coming off that big game, probably his best game in his career yet, right? 14 tackles, I think a sack, that forced fumble. That was definitely one of the key plays in this game. Hell, we might as well do that. We got plenty of time, and we're open right now. So let's do that. Let's hear some defensive talk from yesterday. So we'll go to who spoke to the media after his big performance, and got to give him his credit, earning SEC Defensive Player of the Week honors. Here's linebacker Justin Jefferson.
What'd you say? Can you say it one more time?
Sorry. You've had an impressive week of football, impressive start to the season. What does it mean to just be able to come back and have a good final season of college football?
It don't really mean too much to me. I'm more worried about the team goals and what we got going as a team. Our weekly challenges with every team that we face.
Justin, you guys are coming off back-to-back emotional weeks. You guys get ready to head up to Missouri, team that hasn't lost yet. How do you guys make sure that you bring your both emotional and physical attention to what's going to need to be had on Saturday out there in Columbia?
We are respecting their game. We do know that they have a really explosive offense, really good running back. And at the end of the day, we're just worried about what we got to do so we can come out with the result we want.
Sorry, Justin, when you think about Missouri and their offense, how long they keep the ball, things like that, I mean, what are y'all doing on the practice field to kind of prepare for, I guess, the stamina and what it takes to kind of defend a team that's going to hold on to the ball for so long?
Yeah, I mean, every day we practice, really hard. We run a lot. Should I get a lot of miles in every day, so I'm prepared throughout the week to face challenges like that, for sure.
Justin, this week you faced Bo Capriola, another scrambling quarterback. How much of last week's preparation of Diego Pavio will help you get ready for another prolific quarterback that can use the slides?
Like I said, we're going to respect their game, but it's nothing about what really they do. It's all about what we do.
I know there's been a lot of talk about your speed, but whenever y'all condition, what position group are you going with?
I usually go with the skill if I can, but sometimes I go with the linebackers.
Talk about how much you run in practice. Do you know what you average? It's like GPS.
A lot. So we have to hit a certain percentage of our highs mile per hour, and I usually range about 90 of my highs every day. I try to at least.
What are they asking you to do differently this year as opposed to last year? Not just, you know, versus coming off the bench versus starting, but are there any responsibilities that are different for you?
More just being a leader on and off the field, just being a leader and doing as much as I can on and off the field to help with our success.
Thank you.
You've had a really good last couple of weeks. How intense has that been for you getting on the field in those settings, both at Athens and then coming back at home last weekend?
I don't really take too much, really not too much pressure because I feel like I practice against the best every day. So when we have big games and go on the road and stuff like that, it's nothing really too much to handle. It's just another day in the office.
Where do you feel like you've most improved from week one to now?
I feel like every week is a steady improvement. My job is to grind, refine, and repeat. And I just wish to do that every week, every day, every hour.
When you look at a guy like Ahmad Hardy, what kind of a challenge is a running back that's as versatile as him to just the whole defense, not just you guys as linebackers, but the defense as a whole?
Shoot, he's big. He's physical. Shoot, everybody sees what he has going, and that's we got to do him. Like I said, we respect this game. We're watching film. We're seeing what he can do, and we're just going to get all 11 hats to the ball. Swarm D defense.
What have you thought of
Nakai
Hill Green so far this year?
That's my dog. Shoot, that's my dog. I think he's a great leader, a great person to be in the room, and someone I'm blessed to call my brother.
Obviously, you got to come back for this year. What kind of a boost has it been to the room to have Deontay back for another year?
It's been a big boost. I mean, I feel like we all need a floor general like that in the room, and it's always a blessing to have him back. Shoot, like I said about Nakai, I'm just blessed to have my brother with me.
Having those guys around, how does it help you, you know, whether it's just growth or how you play on the field, how does that help you?
It helps me a lot. Shoot, it really makes my job easier when I have somebody beside me that I can trust. Shoot, he don't tell me, like, what the play is going to happen, but we just bounce off each other, and it just makes my job a lot easier.
How important is that chemistry when you're going on the road, everybody cheering against you, they want to put your backs against the wall?
So it's very important to have everybody on the team because it's all of us against all of them. And they outnumber us by a lot. But if we got our back, continue to press on and compete and with each other, we're going to be fine.
All right. So obviously, Justin, when it comes to talking to the media, he's pretty to the point, man. To the point. Let's switch over to I got Bray pulled up. We'll listen to a couple minutes of Bray real quick before we hit this first time out. Then I got something interesting, man. The picks are starting to roll in for this game and some interesting takes here. And I got one that I want to pull up. So let's first go over to Bray real quick and hear another defensive perspective.
You see, you know, Missouri's offense.
They're a great offense. I mean, their numbers show for, you know, everything they do. They got a great quarterback back there that commands the game really well. They got two great running backs. They can attack us deep too. And I mean, their pass game is they're going to do a little bit of everything, so we got to be ready for all that. But, you know, in the run game, like I said, they got two great backs. I'd play probably two of the best in the country. I mean, they're probably the leading rushers right now. So, you know, we got to be prepared for that too.
How do you see an offense that holds on to the ball as long as Missouri does? Like, are y'all working, like, stamina? Like, on the practice field, or kind of how do you respond?
Similar to our offense.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, our offense does a good job controlling the ball. And, you know, the two offenses between ours and theirs are kind of a little similar. a little bit of the coaching background from Missouri, has been with Coach DeBoer. So, you know, we're going to see a little bit of the same stuff, but, you know, there's going to be wrinkles. They're coming out of a bye week, so they're going to have things prepared for us. So we got to focus in on what we need to focus on.
Can you talk about some of the conversations and adjustments that were made in the first quarter to kind of have a lot of success against Vanderbilt in the last three quarters?
Just be gap sound. That's what it comes down to. When, you know, triple option's hard to defend. I ran it in high school. I mean, I know firsthand. I mean, it's not on this level of college, but, you know, you really have to be disciplined with your keys when you're facing a team like Vanderbilt. But, you know, now it's got everything fixed, so now we got to focus on Missouri this week.
When you're playing in run support, how often are you free to the back versus a tight end or a back or somebody coming out and trying to block you as part of the scheme?
It honestly just depends on, you know, their scheme that they're trying to run. Sometimes I get a free hit, but sometimes it's just the back will bend back and find my gap that's open. But, you know, like, I have to be careful sometimes. I can't just go running through a gap and it may hit in another gap. I have to kind of play sound and make sure that I'm sliding with the ball or whatever it is, but read my keys to make sure that, you know, I stay in my gap. But, you know, if something happens and pop or something, I can clean stuff up, because really safety or secondary support. So
how challenging is it to do that with an outside zone type team that Missouri is going to be running?
Yeah, I mean, gaps, it's hard. Are all moving. I mean, they turn and run, and, you know, it's when there's a lot of space, there's a lot of gaps that can open. So, you know, it's we got to do our part in holding our gaps and turning the ball back to our help. So, that, I mean, that's really what we got to do.
A lot of people, you know, we've seen Keon Shad day in and day out. You know, how would you, I guess, describe him both on the field, off the field? Like, how has he been a help to this defensive backfield?
I mean, he just stays consistent. I mean, I told him the other day during the game, I was like, dude, I'm telling you, these interceptions and takeaways, it gets contagious. And he came up to me and was like, dude, you were right. And I was like, yeah, bro. Like, but he's so consistent. I mean, I can't say it enough. Like, that guy comes in every day just ready to go. And, I mean, always the same effort, everything. So, I mean, I honestly can't say enough about him. He just stays consistent throughout his game.
Do you guys consider yourselves, like, the best safety duo in the country? Or
for sure. For sure. Yeah, we do a great job together back there of communicating and do what we got to do to, you know, stop the pass game. But it's also the corner doing their job, too. It's not only just us. It's the corners and everybody being together and doing our job.
You guys are coming off back-to-back emotional weeks as you get ready to head up there, long SEC season. How do you guys make sure mentally and emotionally you guys are ready to play a full four quarters up there?
Yeah, I mean, it starts with, you know, our recovery. And, I mean, SEC games are going to be wars every week. So we got to be prepared for that. And, I mean, we're prepared for it. We work all offseason and all summer and all fall camp for, you know, games like this in the stretch. So, I mean, we're excited about the opportunity coming up.
How challenging is it to defend a shovel pass?
It can get challenging. I mean, you just have one guy that's not reading his keys right, and it'll hit. But when you do your job and focus on your keys, you can stop it. So, I mean, it's difficult. It's a difficult play, but, you know, you just got to keep working on it. And, I mean, if you do your job, it'll come right to you. So,
right, does it help that you guys are a morning team playing 11 a.m.?
Yeah, I guess you could say, but, I mean, a Saturday is a Saturday. Saturday is a Saturday, and no matter the game time, we got to come ready and play, whether it's a night game. And it's like, I mean, honestly, it's like, are y'all prepared for a night game even though y'all are a morning team? Like, it's the same. I mean, game day is game day. Because being an 11 or being 11 o'clock game and us being a morning practice team is a benefit. But at the end of the day, it's a Saturday game, so we got to be prepared. So,
what's the difference between lights out on Friday before an 11 a.m. game versus lights out on a Friday for an afternoon or a night game?
You just have to make sure that you're getting your sleep. I mean, sleep is, you know, whether you know it or not, like, sleep is big in recovery. And so, you know, you got to get about 8 hours of sleep. So you got to be able to shut it off, shut your iPad down or your phone down, whatever it is, to be able to get the sleep you need to be able to recover.
What's your normal morning routine?
All right, so now the questions are starting to get kind of outside of football. So that being said, we're going to hit this timeout. When we come back, we'll get to what I was mentioning earlier about some of these takes, man. I got one that I think you guys might find kind of interesting. I want to get y'all's thoughts on it. We'll play that. Plus, we still got to go to head coach Kalen DeBoer for his weekly teleconference. I apologize. I know we're playing a bunch of stuff, but it's a slower day today. Plus, I'm a little under the weather, right? So I'm trying not to talk too much if I don't have to. That being said, we'll keep on rolling. We come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Studios, outdoor living spaces, and more. Let the professionals at Hudco Landscaping and Irrigation do those projects around your home or business. HudcoLandscape.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partially sunny and warm this afternoon. The high today, 84. Fair tonight, the low, 61. Tomorrow, partly sunny and cooler. The high, 77. And a beautiful day on Friday. A good supply of sunshine with a high at 76 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 82 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, so we've heard from Bray Hubbard, Justin Jefferson, Ty Simpson. We heard from head coach Eli Drinkwitz, and we will hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer here in a minute. But I saw that J.D. Pickell of On3, he put in his pick for this weekend's matchup between Alabama and Missouri. And I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought you guys might have some thoughts on it. So let's hear what he thinks will go down in this 11 o'clock kickoff this weekend.
I worry a little bit about the letdown versus look ahead ingredients that are in this thing. Like the blender of those two things, plus the talent level of Missouri overall, I think is a lot better than people realize. I think this spot is weird enough and Missouri is good enough to win this football game. This also feels very walk-off field goal-ish to me. But man, SEC Nation's in town. This is a game where Eli Drinkwitz, I think, will have his team dialed up and ready to play. I think Bo Pavula is chomping at the bit to prove himself. I think Bama is still arguably the best team in the SEC. I still think they're a playoff team. I still think Ty Simpson deserves all the Heisman buzz he's getting. But in this spot, I just think it's built for Missouri. So I'll take Missouri to win the football game, walking it off. Final score, Missouri 27, Bama 24. Missouri wins. Obviously, by that nature, they cover. We'll take Missouri money line in this spot to get it done in a weird, sleepy game. Both Beulah, that defense makes the difference. Missouri wins outright in Columbia.
So you heard him. He said he's taking Missouri. Let's hold on. That freeze frame was bad. There we go. That's better. All right. That was J.D. Pickell's pick for this game. Now, I haven't heard too many predictions just yet. You can save y'all's. Y'all don't have to drop y'all's again. We do that on Friday. If you guys want to do it, so be it. But he feels like, you heard him lay out his, I guess, his map of how this game goes. Ends up being kind of one of those really close ones, walk-off kick type of games. But ultimately, he went with Missouri in this matchup. Now, I will say, I mean, looking at several factors here is, you know, and let me preface by saying no one knows exactly how it's going to go. Hell, he could be right. Who knows? But it's very interesting, right? Because you look at this Alabama team, I would say we're arguably one of the hottest teams in the country right now. The way we're playing, seems like we get better and better and better each week. We're battle tested, right? I mean, we played, I think our strength of schedule right now ranks number 3 versus Missouri's 109th. The consistency this offense is playing with the defense, although we've suffered some injuries, although we were a little down right now in certain spots, has continued to play better and better and has shown that they can make plays when it matters most. And we've slowly started, you know, filling some of those holes that we had in the ship, right? I mean, the rushing, I know Vanderbilt in the first quarter had 120-something yards and looked like he was going to be one of those days. To hold them to 22 for the rest of the game. And that's a good team that does a good job with their ground attack, right? That's impressive. And we heard Bray talk about it, and you guys have heard me talk about it. And I've said, I mean, the biggest issues with our run defense really has been the gap, playing gap sound, right? Gap integrity. Week one, that was a lack of physicality, getting, you know, knocked off the football. It was a number of things, bad angles, all that stuff. But really, as a whole, when you look at it, really has been just bad gap integrity. Guys not taking the best angles or really recognizing, diagnosing, running, coming up in that run support. And I would argue, you know, the defense line was getting a lot of criticism initially, but even with them being a little plagued right now with a couple guys out, And a couple, and still even Tim Keene, I know he's back, but just think about it, guys. I mean, I highly doubt he still even feels 100%. That being said, they've been actually doing a pretty nice job up front, right? They actually have. Linebacker play has actually improved. Really, if you look at the big creases that we've been hit with, sometimes it was some of the linebackers, you know, not fitting things right, but a lot, I would say, is from the secondary guys, like those guys not really being where they need to be in their run support. And then also, like I talked about too, guys have to do a better job getting off blocks. That being said, we've cleaned up a lot of that. And you look at this Missouri game, I mean, their quarterback statistically is playing some good football. I think he's only got 3 turnovers, but he's very efficient. I think his completion rate is pretty damn high. They do a nice job, but averaging almost 300 yards on the ground. I mean, obviously that's a red flag for us, knowing that, hey, we've kind of struggled there, but it's like, when we go on the road and face these guys, do we carry over how we looked last 3 quarters against Vanderbilt? Because if so, I think we're probably the biggest test defensively for Missouri that they've seen thus far. I mean, because I saw some people saying they feel we win this game by 2 scores, right? I mean, it's hard to tell, man. I feel like this is one of those games. I know I've said that, and it really has been hard to say. I mean, I was pretty right on Florida State, even though I thought we were going to win it still. But in terms of just kind of what to really expect, it's hard to get a vibe, at least for me, with this game, because it's like, I know Missouri can run the football effectively, and I know we've struggled there, but it's like part of me is telling me, like, we've really been adamant on fixing that and cleaning that up, and I think that is better. I do think they still make plays on the ground. Don't get me wrong. I don't think we just go show up and hold them to under 30 yards in 3 quarters like we did Vanderbilt, because while Vanderbilt is a good running team, the personnel these guys have, especially a running back, I mean, they're going to make plays. I mean, these guys, again, not just Hardy, but even the second one, 20. I mean, hey, he's a damn good player too. But I think that's going to be the main key. Then offensively, how do we manage their front? I mean, Georgia's front, they weren't as much of a threat. And I know most people said that going into the game, but I still was trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, I'm sure with the pressures they dial up, they'll find a way. They'll affect the quarterback. They didn't, though. And really last week, I mean, Vanderbilt, they up to that point, done a decent job getting after the quarterback, right? We talked about that. Our offensive line, both in the running game and in pass pro, really handled those guys. So it's like what I'm getting at is like a lot of the key areas that were major concerns for us earlier on, like the offensive line, our defense, stopping the run, a lot of that has really looked so much better. And a lot of me is telling me like that is going to continue to trend that way. We will still see that type of play. But then the other side is like, man, like, are we due for one of these games? Meaning like Georgia, we know we had all that motivation going, like traveling on the road to Athens, everybody talking about us going in this game. Oh, but they did it against ULM. They did it against Wisconsin, you know, but here's Georgia. That was a big test. How do they respond going back on the road? We know they don't have a good reputation on the road. Well, they handled that. And then think about Vanderbilt, right? I mean, it's another ranked team. They had the motivation of these guys have been talking. Not just that, they beat us last year. They had the revenge factor. So this one is kind of like, for some reason, like a part of me is like, could you see a little bit of a dip in a game like this, knowing we've had 2 games with a lot of emotion, a lot of factors involved, and this one's kind of like, all right, we're going to play Missouri. We know they're a good team, but we're going on the road. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. That just part of me feels like that could be. Now, I'm not saying that means we lose, like he's predicting, but him saying it really could kind of come down to it, I feel it could maybe be one of those games. But I don't know. Obviously, I'll still give my prediction and really sort things out. But right now, as of Wednesday, watching these guys on tape, seeing how they are up front, which I think will be a big challenge for our offensive line, knowing the backs that they have, their running scheme, that wide zone, how all it takes is them to find a crease, those cutback lanes that they're looking for. If guys if we don't have 11 hats in pursuit to the football, all it takes is him hitting a cutback, a guy trying to reach out, him breaking an arm tackle, and he's out of there, right? So I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. But anyway, I thought you guys might think that was pretty interesting, because that was the first one that I've seen, at least. I know Bama's favored, you know, -3, But I hadn't heard anybody necessarily flat out pick Missouri. This was the first one. So curious what you guys think about that. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We go to the phone lines. We got George. We also will hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer during the teleconference. Plus, I'll continue breaking down some of these plays over on the stream and responding to your questions right here at the Miller's Edge on YouTube, where you can check us out completely free. All we do is ask you to drop a like, subscribe if you haven't done that already, and support the channel over here as well. Quick timeout. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. We're joined by Jonathan of the Good Feast when we come back, and then we'll get back to the phone lines right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes a bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide head to the zoo to battle the Missouri Tigers. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. on your home for Alabama football. Bama Football is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. DCH Regional Medical Center. Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Two Dimes. Taco Casa. Mercedes-Benz.
Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. And speaking of our friends over at the Good Feet Store, we're now joined by Mr. Jonathan of the Good Feet Store. Jonathan, good Wednesday to you. Appreciate you guys joining us. How are you?
Good Wednesday to you. I'm doing well, Christian. I hope you are.
All is well. All is well. Things are rolling back in the way that we need them to for us after a tough week one, but we've been having some fun breaking things down. We've been talking about Missouri, Alabama, big matchup this weekend. I know you guys are you based out of Virginia? I know you do a lot in Virginia. I know I've seen like you guys working with the University of Virginia. Would you consider y'all, you know, big Virginia fans?
I would say you could say that. I was born in Charlottesville and didn't go to UVA, but I've been a lifelong UVA fan, and we're headquartered in Richmond, so the proximity there is good. But I attend I was there at the UVA Florida State game and attend most of the home games, some away games, and generally the same with basketball also. So that's definitely where we are, but it's so good for us to be involved with the University of Alabama and all the tradition and everything that's represented there. And so I'm excited to be on and talk all things sports, feet, how we keep our feet healthy, and how we can succeed not only in sports but in life with good feet.
Absolutely, absolutely. I ask you that because they were the team to beat Florida State, who beat us. And I was curious if you did check that game out, which you said you did. And did you storm the field? I guess that's the next question. Were you a part of the big storm field?
You know what? I decided to let the young folks do that. I've been involved in some of the really highlight moments. That was ranked right up there. I was in Minneapolis when UVA won the national championship in basketball. My only time to Cameron Indoor Stadium for basketball was when UVA upset Duke a couple of years ago there, and it was fun to be in that environment. But that's a win over Florida State, ranked right up there, probably a top three events as far as being a UVA fan, that's for sure.
I imagine so. Yeah, no, it was a great game. I watched it, and I thought, what's his name? That receiver. I thought he might have caught that pass. He bobbled it. His foot kind of was in, wasn't really. Didn't get it down, I guess. But definitely ended up being a good game. But good for you guys, and that definitely was a big time win for you. Obviously, the Good Feet Store is a huge part of what we do here. Then obviously, but what you guys are doing, like you said, y'all have been here in Alabama, not just in Tuscaloosa, opening up a store in Mobile, doing a lot. I know the story behind it, but tell us, or at least our listeners, how you got involved with the Good Feet Store and how it's, you know, definitely kind of just been a game changer for you. They've heard my story, but I'd love for you to share yours.
So we have a similar story, Christian, and that we both have benefited from Good Feet. The main difference between the two is that you are an elite athlete and highly accomplished athlete, and I'm not. And the only thing that really would put me into an athletic thing, I love sports, always loved them growing up. I just wasn't any good at them. And finally, I realized that long distance running, putting one foot in front of the other for a long period of time, was the perfect activity for me, given my athletic ability. So as a runner, back in 2012, I began to experience plantar fasciitis. Actually, it was a little bit before then, and tried all the products, tried the shoes, tried the things at the drugstore, tried everything else. Finally, heard about the Good Feet Store, went in, got the arch supports, and my mileage at that point had been, I'd had to, you know, could only do like a mile or two, and got them. It really helped so much in helping me to resolve the plantar fasciitis over time, and it wasn't really that long. I was able to increase my mileage. Later on that year, I ran my first marathon. Never thought that I would do 26.2. But I came back the next year as I was planning to run my second marathon, and I told the owner of the local Good Feet store here in Richmond, I said, I've never had a product transform my life like these arch supports. She literally turned around on the sales floor and looked at me, and she said, you want to buy the place? And I laughed about it and went home, and then I realized that she was serious, and I came back and said, were you really serious? And she said, yes, I'm not really cut out to do this. So make a long story short, January 2nd, 2014 was our first day in business. I had left a 25-plus year career, rated 401k and gotten a home equity loan, and, you know, I was in business. And so from there, it's been such a fun experience because it's a business that truly helps people in a transformational way, not Christian, just in giving them something that's going to, just help for a bit of time, but really move the meter significantly in addressing problems that are so, you know, essential to not only for athletes, that kind of thing, but just for regular people like me that just want to enjoy the things that they love and do it without, as we say, without their feet getting in the way.
Absolutely. And I love the story because, I mean, I'm very much business minded myself. And it sounds like something I would love to do, like, you know, falling in love with the product so much and being offered to literally buy the place and then finding a way to make that happen. And then years later, just growing and expanding and really spreading something that you're passionate about with so many people. So I love hearing that story. So I'm glad you were able to share that with our listeners. Tell us a little bit about this book that you've written. Now you're an author, right? So obviously, all the work you do at the Good Feet Store, but now you're an author, The Business of Character. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, it's interesting when we talk about sports, when we talk about championship coaches and those that are seeing success, so much of it, culture has a big part of that, right? Talk about UVA, Tony Bennett as a national championship. But in Alabama, you know, Nick Saban and how he approaches winning and team building and all those things, all of that have always been stories that I really resonated with. And so when we started our business, I wanted it to be something that was really, that had character to it. So The Business of Character, which people can find on Amazon or download it from Audible, The Business of Character is a little bit about our journey, but it's really more talking about an approach to a business. And just like in sports, when sports are approached the right way, then it creates a platform and an opportunity for influence that can exponentially do good in everywhere it touches. And we see the same thing with the business. So when people come into the Good Feet store, what we want to do is not just create a transactional relationship with them, but something that we can truly help them in a really form a long-term relationship. But to do that well, then the culture and how we approach that and how we think about it in terms of having a clear vision, number one, what's the GPS setting? What's the why? What gets us up in the morning? And then the mission, the fuel in the tank, and then our values that provide the structure, the flanges on the track, if you want to say, to make sure that we don't go go off track, then that's how we approach our business. And so I'm thankful that we've been able to have the employees embrace it, because we start with our employee experience. If we don't have a good relationship with our employees, how can we serve our customers well? And that's really the thing that's propelled our growth, that we now have stores, 43 stores from Cleveland down to Destin, Florida, including there in Tuscaloosa and Birmingham and Montgomery and other places there in Alabama. But it's a wonderful thing to be able to be involved in that. And to be clear, Christian, it's not a me thing. It's an us thing, because you can't do that unless you have a lot of people that are bought in, contributing in their unique ways, just like a football team.
No, you're spot on, and I love that, because, I mean, that's always been, like you mentioned, you referenced Coach Saban. All the teams that I was a part of, you know, obviously we were very blessed to be very talent-rich. We had guys from all different backgrounds, all types of stars and rankings, but one thing that made us so successful was our ability to work together and come together as one, right? It was never just about one individual. It was always about the team, and Coach Saban always assured us of that. So, and I love that. And speaking of how you guys operate, I always tell people, customer service for me is one of the biggest things. One way to turn me away as a customer is if you don't have good customer service. And the first time I went in the Good Feet store, I mean, I got hit with a massage thing for my feet. I mean, Douglas, who served us, I mean, this guy was probably the nicest person I've ever met. So I always tell people, man, like, that's a big thing for me. And at the Good Feet store, it's never lacking there. You can assure yourself of that. I want to talk a little bit about the kick for cash challenge that you guys are doing now. Again, everybody knows about the Good Feet store with our show. We plastered everywhere. But now this is a new element, right? We've been talking about the supporters, but the kick for cash, now it's a chance for people to do something fun and earn something. Talk a little bit about how that came about and how everybody can get in on that. I've been telling them there's a website, goodfeetkickforcash.com. You can sign up. And who doesn't like free cash? But how did it come about? And just give us some overall thoughts. That way listeners know how they can get involved.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Christian, when you say that, is that if you think about it, everything starts with our feet, right? And what we do at the Good Feet store, it's an approach to structurally improve not only just the feet, but the whole body. We're not in the business of selling cushions or things that just provide temporary relief. So we wanted something that would kind of help be a corollary to that of whatever we do on the field. It's not just come out of the Good Feet store and buy a shoe. It's not come out of the Good Feet store and just, you know, buy a disposable product. It's something that would be how everybody can really improve, you know, whatever they're doing. So the kick for cash is directly connected to the feet, obviously. And the way it works is you have the first kick is from 20 yards. And if the contestant makes the 20-yard field goal, they win $500. Then they go to the next round. So the second kick is from 30 yards. Make the 30-yard field goal, and they get $1,000. And then with that, then they're going to earn an invitation to return for the homecoming game on November 15th for a chance to win $10,000 with a 40-yard kick. So that's that's the deal. We have a consolation prize if you're not successful, but everything is kind of building up to that November 15th date when there'll be a chance to win $10,000 from 40 yards.
Wow. Well, let me ask you this. Now, have you did a trial run? Now, I mean, obviously you're putting on the challenge. Have you, Jonathan, got out there and tried to kick a couple field goals? If so, did they go all right? I don't know if you did try that or not, but maybe you did.
Yeah, there are some things that that I think even for your own self-dignity, it's probably better just to maybe visualize what could it be than to create a history milestone of what happened. You know, so that's kind of how I'm going to answer that question, if that makes sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. No, I'll give you a hard time. No, hey, I'm intrigued. I kind of want to do it. I'm going to leave it for our listeners and all the Alabama fans. I don't want to necessarily enter, but now you've got me intrigued. I'm like, I played soccer growing up. I've never really tried to kick field goals, but now I'm like, I wonder if I could do it. So maybe I'll go up to the football complex at some point and try to just simulate it. That way I can see if I'm a competitive person. So that's all that is. Jonathan, real quick, before we let you go, and I appreciate you joining us. Alabama's got Missouri this weekend. I don't know. I'm obviously, you keep up with Alabama. You guys have a lot of strong connections here in the state. But I don't know how much you've seen of Missouri, but this is a top matchup. I mean, Missouri comes in the game. I believe they're ranked 14th right now. We've been climbing back up. We've been hitting our stride. We've been playing some really good football. Ty Simpson has been one of the, if not the best quarterbacks in the country. Defense has finally started filling some of those holes that we saw earlier in the year. And I feel like we're kind of hitting our stride at the right time. Do you have any initial thoughts on this matchup? We just listened to a clip before you hopped on here of J.D. Pickell of On3. He actually picked Missouri to win the football game. He said it was probably going to be a close one, but he ended up picking Missouri. Do you have a pick in this game or any initial thoughts?
You know what? It's amazing to think that that's even a point of discussion. So, you know, 5 years ago or so, who would have ever thought that Missouri would be even in the discussion? So that's kind of cool from their standpoint. I feel like that early season losses, to me, just like things that can sometimes happen in our lives, that those can be transformed for incredible good and for benefit. And so often, you know, the preseason rankings often don't mean a lot. Early season rankings sometimes don't mean a lot. I just feel like that initial early season loss for Alabama is going to pay dividends. I'm going to go with Alabama on this one, and I believe that you know, we'll see Alabama in the CFP, and that's where I'm going to go. But you know, I would love to see it actually.
Yeah, I love that. No, and listen, you're not alone on that. I mean, there's a lot of people in the industry that picked Alabama going into this year. They were a little nervous with their picks after week one, but I think everybody's starting to settle back down and see that this is the Alabama team that we all expected coming into this 2025 season. So hopefully you're right. Hopefully we do see them continue on that trend and end up in that national picture when it's all said and done. Jonathan, I appreciate you getting hopping on here and hanging out with me. Definitely means a lot. And real quick, before I let you go, one last time, let everybody know where they can find that book, because I'm definitely interested in myself. I know you mentioned Amazon and some other places. Again, that is The Business of Character that you're the author of. Where can they check that out?
Yeah, so you can go to Amazon if you want to prefer to get it on an ebook. You can do that also, or also on Audible. All three are available there. And you know what? I just want to encourage people to think about, in our world, Christian, if I can just add this real quick before we're done, in our world where there's so much polarization, that there's so much contention about things, I do believe that there's a way that we can work together and that we can still be very true to our own beliefs and values, but we can do it in a way that is unifying. And I love that at the Good Feet Store, because just like no matter who you are, what you believe, what party you vote for, whatever else, everybody needs good feet, but we also all want problems to be resolved in our community. And I believe there's an incredible opportunity for everybody that's in business. You don't have to be an entrepreneur like me. You don't have to be an athlete. You don't have to be a former athlete like Christian, but we can all be engaged in things that can be unifying and help address the issues that our society faces.
Absolutely. No, I love that. I love that. And that's why, honestly, I'm so happy to be a part of the team with you guys, and just so thankful that I got to meet you guys. And like I said, obviously from the foot perspective, that's been a game changer, but just working with you, Parks, and everybody, the whole team, man, it's been amazing. So thank you guys so much. And thank you for joining us again. Feel free to hop on anytime. And I definitely, we can dive into some more sports talk too. I know you're a big sports guy, so we'll definitely open that floor to you anytime that you want, John.
And I love that, Christian. I'll say this one other thing. We don't choose ambassadors or spokespeople for us casually. So they need to align as people and as people of character also. And we appreciate you for that, is because we wouldn't be having this conversation if that wasn't true. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you so much. And that means so much to me. I appreciate that. And hope you have a great rest of your day. And hopefully we have some, hopefully it's one of our listeners that wins the Good Feet Kicks for Cash Challenge. Again, goodfeetkicksforcash.com is where you can find more information, sign up. Jonathan, we'll keep you updated. Hope it's one of our listeners, man.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Episode 2. Good luck to all.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Take care.
Take care. Goodbye.
Yes, sir. Good deal. Man, that was awesome, man. Really good stuff. Again, don't forget to sign up. GoodFeetKickForCash.com is where you can go sign up. Again, who does not like free cash? But like you said, everything starts with the feet, and that's why this challenge came to be, presented by the Good Feet Store, just like us, man. So, yeah, Reed, if you can, we can combine those. And I think we're probably only going to have about a minute or so. Is George still there? I was going to let George hop on here for about a minute or so before we have to squeeze out of here. George, you with us?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Christian?
George, I hope you, I'm sorry. I hope you're not too mad at me, man. We had a guest scheduled at 12:30 and times got all smashed up. That's on me, man. I apologize.
Well, what's so funny is I'm at the a shopping center, and right in front of me is a Good Feet store.
What are the chances? Oh, man. Wait, well, if you got some extra time, just walk on in there to see what they have to offer, man. It's, they're game
changing. I think I will. Yeah, I just want to make three comments. Ryan Williams, you know, first off, I think there's so much expectation of him making, you know, doing a home run that he starts running before he catches the ball. But the thing that really impressed me about him in the Georgia game was when he held on to the ball. I think it was 4th and 1. And I mean, they just hammered him, and he held on to the ball, and he didn't drop it. But another thing I wanted to hit was that Diego Fabio or whatever. I'm surprised that the SEC has not done something with Vanderbilt with the way that he did a classless act before the game, grabbing himself and doing all those whatever. You know, it was very classless. I was at the game, and it was embarrassing to see that. And especially all the young people watching him. I know he's got his brand. He's got to be Mr. Whoever, confident. But that was a classless act, grabbing himself. And I'm really surprised.
You know, I still haven't seen that. You know what's funny? I have not seen that. And I know that was going around, and I think that's what stirred that interaction with the fan. I think the fan was upset because his kids were there, maybe. Or maybe I have the story wrong, but... not that I want to see a video of a guy doing that. I don't need to see it. But was it before or after the game?
Before the game.
So it was before. So they were coming off the field like from warm-ups?
Yes. You know, he did his practice victory formation. And, you know, hit the knee. And then as he was coming off, he grabbed himself. And I'm really surprised. Thank you. Has not fined Vanderbilt. Or Vanderbilt, I mean, it makes them look classless. You know, they are an academic institution, and I'm just surprised nothing has been done. You know, the NFL fined Jerry Jones $250,000. I don't know what he did, but he did a gesture to the fans. And I just think I'm disappointed in the SEC not doing something like that. I mean, it was embarrassing, and you know, it's just classless. And I'm just surprised nobody has done anything. One more quick question, Christian. You know, I hear your dad talking about, you know, all the players now wear shorts instead of football pants. Mm-hmm. You know, when I played and you skinned your knee at the first of the year, you hated it because you kept reskinning it. How come these guys don't have skint knees like they did in the past?
I don't know, man. Georgia, I'll answer that, but if you want to just go ahead and hang up because I'm about to do a quick close. But I appreciate that you called, and I'm glad I got to talk to you. Just even for a couple minutes. I apologize. It's a good deal. But I'll just say this. He's 100% right. All that turf burn and burned skin on you does not feel good. But I guess they just got used to it from rolling the pads up. We got to get out of here. We're over on our time. But appreciate you guys, as always, and look forward to doing it again tomorrow right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.